Linda von Tilburg for BizNews. South Africa is looking to capitalize on one of its underutilized tourist attractions, its unpolluted night skies. A new astro-tourism strategy has been presented to Parliament, aiming to integrate astronomical research facilities, dedicated dark sky tourism zones, and indigenous celestial storytelling into the national tourism landscape. And joining us in the studio to discuss this is Shamila Chetia, the Deputy Director General of the South African Department of Tourism. Hi, Shamila, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and thank you for that fabulous introduction. You know, we like to say in South Africa, we have extraordinary tourism offerings, but we also have extraordinary science. So South African science tells the story of Earth and life. We can claim Africa as the continent that humanity emerged from, human beings emerged from. And we are, through astro-tourism, of course, now exploring astronomy and its links with tourism. What is very extraordinary is because we have so much development across the world, 50% of the world's population is unable to see the night sky. So 50% of the world is unable to actually see the stars. And in South Africa, it is not a small advantage. It's a massive geographic advantage to be able to see the extraordinary night skies. You were saying a little bit earlier, you visited the Karoo, and visitors who were not South African, when they looked up, were completely astounded by the number of stars that you can see. And it is exactly that. You can look up in South Africa, in parts of our country, and see the entire Milky Way. And it is an extraordinary experience. I think that what we've also discovered is that post-COVID, many, many travelers are looking for spaces that they can be in, wide open spaces. They're looking for natural environments. And South Africa, through its work, actually allows us to explore those wide open spaces and to be able to use the night skies. The night skies are also absolutely free, which is an extraordinary advantage. They also are most spectacular, as it turns out, in rural areas and areas where there is not very much of a massive built environment. And so what is marvelous for us as tourists is that we are now able to take people away from urban areas. They can visit urban areas, and they must, but they must also explore down the road. So in our work, Linda, if you don't mind me going on, Sutherland actually is our case study for the benefit of the dark sky. So Sutherland basically has the single largest optical telescope in the Southern Hemisphere that was set up in 1976. But since 1976, there's been gradual development of tourism facilities. There are now 44 different accommodation-type facilities and offerings in Sutherland. Last year alone, Sutherland saw 25,000 visitors, which is a very large number. And what our research tells us is that if people are visiting a place like Sutherland, and certainly a place like Carnarvon, they will stay over. So if you look at a simple calculation of a visitor spending 2,000 rand for accommodation, eating out, taking a little visit to the observatory and doing some stargazing, that is around 50 million rand that actually was brought into Sutherland last year. It's not a small contribution that tourists can make. And we often say we want you to leave your footprints, you know, and not much else. And that is exactly what astrotourism allows us to do.
Sure. That sounds all incredibly exciting. And as you said, I think some of the private tourism facilities have really explored this already. So what else is needed in terms of financial and infrastructure to support this development of the dark sky tourism in South Africa?
So essentially what we have is already a very massive investment in terms of the science of astronomy. We have at the SKA, of course, over the next few years, we are looking at a $2 billion investment in the infrastructure of astronomy. And we as tourism are then capitalizing on that amazing work that our scientists are doing in collaboration with scientists across the world. The strategy itself identifies 46 public and private partnerships, projects. Not all of these have been funded. So the total budget estimate needed to fund all 46 is just over $350 million. We already have funding of $150 million, so roughly 40% of that total budget. And we have already seen 75 million rand, which is, I would say, a public-private sector investment in the digital dome at the University of Witwatersrand. It's a very a spectacular facility that's just been upgraded. We are also going to be building a science exploratorium in Carnarvon, which is where the square kilometer array is actually located. And announcements related to that development will be made later in the year because we do anticipate that we'll break ground on that development. We're also then investing in the development of people. And we've started work by training astro guides in the Northern Cape. South Africa also has amazing star lore, which comes from indigenous storytelling. The San people have navigated the continent for centuries using the night sky. And so we are incorporating the indigenous storytelling into the work that we are doing. And through that, building new enterprises around the tourist guiding, but also creating new products in the area. So those are what we have as our big projects that we're looking forward to in the next 2 years. And working together with our astronomy and tourism stakeholders across the country, we are also developing not just in the Northern Cape, because the strategy is a national strategy, but we are actually working across the country to look at how we offer this. Our national parks, for example, lend themselves perfectly to stargazing as an added opportunity. And our rural communities also lend themselves to creating enterprises that offer this and bring it on stream. South Africa, by the way, Linda, is the only country that we know and the first that has a national astrotourism strategy. There are many countries in the world where astronomy is important and where they have actual offerings that are tourism and astronomy. But South Africa is the only country that has formalized that. And we're really proud both of our scientists, but also of our tourism offering.
So you mentioned that the budget's around 300 million and you've got 140 million now. Where is the rest of the money going to come from?
So we have the projects that are listed in our strategy, and the strategy is a public document, so anyone can have a look at it. Have a number of proposals. We're working with different parties. And what we have created is an astrotourism governance board, which is comprised of stakeholders from both astronomy and tourism. And this team is basically the team that is now going to assist with lobbying for both public and private sector funding to make the remaining projects that aren't funded a reality. But I think that almost 40% of that budget, which is 150 million, is not a small or insignificant contribution to start off with. Our strategy is a 10-year strategy. So in that 10-year period, we feel confident that working with various stakeholders, that we will be able to make the rest of the projects a reality.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that indigenous part of the story. You talked a little bit about the San people, and how would that be built up?
So we already, and if there are visitors, I would encourage them. We always encourage visitors to come to South Africa and leave your money behind. We have already started some of that interpretation. So visitors who have ever wandered up to the Kgalagadi National Park, there is a beautiful interpretation center that actually tells, in the Sam's own words, the story of how they navigate the night skies. In addition to that, what we have invested in is a marketplace where you can engage with the crafters and also our astro guides, actually. Some of them are located in that part of the world and they can offer you the visitor experience. There is also a very beautiful center that has just been completed at the South African Astronomy Observatory in Cape Town. So for those visitors who actually are in Cape Town, this is a really beautiful center that, again, has woven in the indigenous narratives into the storyline. You can also purchase at that particular center written texts, beautiful books, beautifully illustrated of indigenous storytelling. So we are working very closely in the Northern Cape, of course, because this is where many of the San people are located. And working very closely with those communities, I think, to allow their stories to unfold. And the very nice thing about tourism is that we are not precious about narratives. We believe that different stories can coexist. So the very serious scientific story of astronomy can very easily coexist with the San narratives. If you are up in the Northern Cape and that part of the world, there are also amazing storytelling evenings around a fire with local communities who then will actually show you the night sky, but through different eyes. So that's how we're weaving that work into what we are doing in the tourism space.
So what are you hoping this would contribute to the economy and to job creation?
So I think that we are using Sutherland as an example. We haven't completed a complete economic impact. But as I was saying, in Sutherland, we now know that there is a very significant contribution to job creation. And those 25,000 visitors that go there do contribute significantly, as I was indicating, to the economy. So this is what we are hoping will be the same impetus that will be created in the Carnarvon area. We have other examples, not from astronomy, but certainly from paleontology. So in Gauteng, the cradle of humankind, which is a World Heritage Site located just outside of Johannesburg, we know that when it started, there were around 69 tourism facilities that were in the area. Government invested in the Maruping Interpretation Center and in infrastructure like the roads and signage and cycle lanes. And we know now that there are over 400 different tourism offerings in that area. So the growth in tourism, government contribution is really to invest in the strategic economic infrastructure and then allow the private sector to grow incrementally as those visitors increase to the site. So we do have very good success stories, just not the direct economic impact for Carnarvon and astrotourism yet, but we will have those figures as we are working through this.
Well, light pollution is a problem for stargazers, and that some of them are also moaning about Elon Musk's satellites affecting that. So how will you address this issue that we, in South Africa, ensure that these unpolluted skies where you can see literally forever are preserved?
So we already have legislation that has been passed related to dark skies, particularly around the SKA. We are also working with the Dark Skies Initiative to actually look at the type of lighting, for example, that we put into that area. Lighting is actually not a problem at all. It is just the type of lighting and the way in which that lighting is focused. So downward lighting rather than lighting that goes up into the sky. We think that there are very easy ways to manage that, and we're working with the Dark Skies Initiative to actually then work together with local communities and residents, particularly of that area, to make sure that any initiatives that we have actually then do meet the kind of lighting requirements and retain the specific ambience of that area. So there's legislation, but there's also the softer skills of working with people to get them to understand the benefits of the Dark Skies Initiative.
Yeah, and there's also, I think, an emotional thing. I don't know how you feel when you get there and you just gaze at the skies. It's kind of very calming.
It is extraordinary calming. So we are also really lucky to have on our team somebody called Dr. Letitia Jacobs, whose PhD is in astrotourism. And Letitia often tells the story of how she became interested in the night skies. She would pretty much lie on the grass and look up at the skies and wonder about what was out there. And I think that's her story, but it is a story that any one of us can connect with. I think that we have all done that at some point in our life, from when we were little children, just looked up and wondered what was out there, and tried to figure out what those glittering stars were. I think you are quite right. It is something that connects with you at a very visceral level. And anyone who has been out to Sutherland or to Carnarvon and just has that experience of just looking up at the extraordinary Milky Way will understand that connection. And I think that we're also pretty excited because, you know, aligned with that is all of the very exciting scientific findings that are coming out of the data from the SKA. And also from SALT, the large telescope that's based at Sutherland. And those, I must tell you, when you speak to astronomers, are equally enthralling. And what's really nice is that you have that opportunity at Sutherland to engage then with astronomers. And we're hoping that once our visitor centers up and running in Carnarvon, that similar opportunity is available for visitors to engage with real scientists.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I think the only thing I'd like to add is that through the work that we're doing on tourism, we're also hoping to inspire the next generation of scientists because I think that curiosity is piqued and by seeing and doing things that you haven't necessarily done before. And I think that if you're a visitor, your curiosity is piqued about things you might not necessarily have been interested in. So all I can say is that we look forward to welcoming South Africans as well as visitors from across the globe to experience our extraordinary astrotourism offering.
Dr. Shimala Chettia, thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you very much, Linda.